before we really get going, I want to remind everybody that on the training center, somebody reached out to me on this. Roy and I were talking about this yesterday. If somebody is not in Sales Team Pro, they're not a part of Sales Team Pro, but they would like to at least be able to get into training. They cannot, you know, get into Sales Team Pro if they're not. So there's its own technicalities there, but they can at least use the training center. So what people need to do, if you didn't catch this on Tuesday, is they go to, you know, your normal HTTPS kind of thing, but your salesteampro.net. So you don't STP, you got to actually write it out. salesteampro.net/training. And if they put in salesteampro.net/training, the password will be recruit. I don't think they have the password on it because I just went to it. I just don't know if it thinks my computer knows that it's me and it might be letting me in. So I'm not really sure. If it asks for a password, the password is the word recruit, no caps. And that will get anybody into the training center. So we're talking about, yeah, anybody in the company, okay? I mean, this is anybody who wants to be able to get in can then watch the Tuesday replays all the way back in time. They get the archives available to them, the monthly kickoff archives, the Sunday trainings, everything all in the training center available without a membership to get those. Of course, they're not going to have links, campaigns, all the main things that we really use Sales Team Pro for, but they're at least going to be able to be a part of what my humble opinion is the best training in the company is on there. So as I said, 7 ways to generate more leads for your financial advisory business. So number one, we're going to get into is define your niche. Okay. This is something that after reading a lot of stuff, just kind of online of how other advisory firms build their book of business, and then looking at talking to a couple of consulting firms who help financial advisors to build big practices. I was on a podcast with a guy who was part of an office that does $100 to $200 million in AUMs a year. And we're talking about an individual shop that does $100 to $200 million a year, an independent. And I was on a call, a podcast with him in a clubhouse, actually with the same guy before. And they were just talking about niche. Like the people who have the biggest, baddest offices know who they intend to work with. So yesterday on the Massive Passive Income call, Ben Shepherd talked about how he predominantly works with older people. He specifically wants to work with, you know, this older clientele. He kind of has this group that he wants to work with. Now, he said he just opened a pack for a 19-year-old, and he doesn't turn it down. That's not what defining your niche means. It's just deciding who you want to do business with. So, for instance, like if anybody knows the STAR system, right? Jim Hoyt would always go around the company doing STAR. And you're an STA or an R person. You're a stability, a theory, an action, or a relationship. So I'm a high A followed by a T. So I get very technical in nature as well. So I get along very well. I have a lot of clients who are engineers. Most people can't stand engineers because if you're a big AR or, you know, that kind of thing, you don't have much S or T in you. Engineers can drive you crazy. They can be really blunt. They ask hard questions. They ask questions just to see if they're smarter than you. They'll really test you a lot of times, that kind of thing. But I actually love those kinds of people because I'm kind of like that in nature. I could have been kind of an engineer. My dad works in that space in the industry of gas and oil. So, and that's kind of near us. So I meet people like that. I love that as a niche because I get along with those kind of people. I can speak their language. I understand the oil and gas and industry world really well. So I understand how the machinery works. I understand those kinds of things. Growing up doing a lot of labor kind of work. And so I get along with those people. And so then on things like LinkedIn, and the reason that LinkedIn is the best for financial advisors is it's the only social media platform that allows you to really go find a particular kind of person. You know, Facebook is just kind of like everybody's there. And it's like, what do they do? I don't know. Are they qualified? I don't know. Yeah, but at least when you define a niche, you can define who you want to work with. You can say, okay, what kind of career pays or lends to the kind of work that you want to work in? Okay, so I was just talking to somebody about the other day about a teacher, RVP, had reached out to me. We were talking, and he knows teachers. Like, his wife is a teacher. I'm like, okay, well, your wife's a teacher. You should be working with like a ton of teachers, right? So the number one career that a millionaire spouse is in is teaching. So a millionaire, the number one job that somebody who's a millionaire spouse does for a living is they teach. So that's a great market, right? Because teachers know what? Oodles of families. They know all the other teachers. They can't say they don't know anybody. They're around a large group every single day, right? So maybe that's your niche. But number one, you got to define who you want to work with. So like, I'm creating content literally just for engineers. I'm sending out stuff just for engineers, like ignoring basically everybody else. Now, what I'm finding is it doesn't mean everybody else isn't coming to me. I used to experience this a lot when we would be recruiting in our shop. I'd tell people, try to do your best, focus 100% on finding married homeowners with kids to join the business. You want to find married homeowners with kids, like Art Williams would say. And you know what? You'll find 19, 20-year-olds, 25-year-olds that are single, that still live at home by default. They're everywhere. Those people practically find you. But if you go after those people, you never get the great people. And it's not that they can't be great. I was one of those people. I came in as a zero star, right? And built my business here. But like Art Williams says, exceptions to the rule don't make that your way of doing business. So I just thought about what's the niche I want to work in, and maybe I help this engineer, but then, you know, he sends me to his brother-in-law. He doesn't have nearly as much money or doesn't want the opportunity or whatever the case may be, but there's still money to be made there. There's still a family I can help. It's just not as profitable as if I was working with an engineer. So number two, create a powerful one-line value proposition. So where you can say something like, you know, we specialize in helping engineers achieve confidence in their financial planning in this way. Or you could say, so that defines that piece. So I think that Dean Francis has done a really good job of this with the F&A. He has like this digital tool that, you know, and he explains the F&A. I kind of use it connected to what Howard Lashner does. And I love to use that little saying about the F&A, you know, that we create this cutting edge tool that gives you options and strategies along with action steps on how to feel better financially. You would like to feel better financially, wouldn't you? Yes, absolutely. Okay, great. So you got to create this one powerful line so you can get it done. Because when you try to explain PFS in like, I mean, it's like we do so much. You can't do that. You can't give a presentation to a stranger. You got to decide which route you want to go. And then you got to say that one thing and it's got to be powerful. So you got to get that figured out. Number three, become a thought leader. Okay. So out-teach your competition, you know, so like webinars, we've talked about this on here, webinars for all of our clients, things that people can come to that are 100% educational. They're actually learning. They're not involved in the sales pitch. You've got to become this thought leader, this person that people look at and go, yeah, I get so much value from knowing JC Reddy. You know what I mean? Like just because I know that guy, I'm doing so much better financially that then you become this thought leader. Okay. So, and people can't, you want to get so good at giving out free. Okay. What I mean by free is like, you want to give out, I mean, think about how much free stuff does a radio host give out? I mean, they're spilling the beans, right? They're pouring all their knowledge out there and knowing that it'll still come back. Okay. So, part of this becoming a thought leader and educating people is that, you know, I was reading this article and this lady was saying that people aren't sold anything anymore. They go buy it. You know, it's, and I agree with that to a sense. I think that life insurance, specifically as a product, is one of those things that like people are sold life insurance, don't really buy it. It's the amount of life insurance, according to LIMRA, that's still bought just 100% from people going to buy it themselves, responsibly taking action to go do it, is still very small. It's a very small number, less than 10% of total insurance purchased. most of the time people, we've got to define the need. We've got to make them understand why they need it. Then they're buying it, but they're then buying it because we made them understand the need. You know, we're not really selling it. So number four, leverage Google reviews. Okay. So everybody should have, if you're an RVP, you should have your office on Google. So of course, I mean, just for your location alone, just so people can find the place. Okay. So you should be on Google and you can then have people leave Google reviews. Now there is an SEC rule about this. But if you follow the rules really simply, it's this: we're not allowed to have testimonials, but a Google review is not considered a testimonial according to the SEC. So if somebody just leaves a Google review, does 5-star and says, great people over there, they helped me out, blah, 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 right? If you don't comment, okay, you're not allowed to comment, you're not allowed to like it. But if somebody just writes a comment on Google, that's fine. You're not allowed to then go add to it. You know, oh, loved it. Hey, you're great to have as a client, da, da, da. You can't do that, but you can have the review itself. So, and that's totally 100% compliant. Okay. So, because it's not even within your control. You have a business according to Google. You have your address and your phone number so that if people look up Primerica near me, they can find you. Okay. That's just a responsible business thing to do. Okay. So you have that. And then if people leave a Google review, that has nothing to do with you. They can do that. And you can't stop them from doing that. What you can do is stop yourself from replying to it and that kind of thing. But letting people do reviews is a big thing. You just cannot ever get caught having something in writing and you're saying, please leave me a review. Okay, like that you don't want to do. But reviews, of course, are really, really good because it can be like a testimonial without being considered one. And it's also staying compliant then. So number five, use case studies to create social proof. This one's kind of hard for us in how we operate inside of Primerica. But, you know, you can still talk in generalities about how you help people. You know, one of my RVPs, he will get online and he'll just talk about how he helped a family, you know, that day. And he just does it as like a very like now thing. He'll just say, had a couple left my office today. They were underinsured, not saving enough for retirement. Now they feel, you know, they're not saving enough for their future. You don't want to use that word, retirement, but not saving enough for their future. And I helped them out and they're really excited. What a great Friday. You know, you can use social proof like that without getting into specifics, and that's fine. Number six, and all these things are seven ways to generate more leads because, like in that case, he'll write stuff like that. Not every day. You don't want to do that every day. You want to do that no more than twice a week. But you'll have people who comment, they're watching, and then suddenly they'll DM you on Facebook or Instagram or wherever, and then ask for an appointment. Okay. Number six, claim and optimize your Google My Business listing. So this kind of goes back to the number four point about Google reviews is you need to claim your listing. Like my listing was, it was weird. It was somehow somebody had my address for my Google, for my office. I had to claim the address and then Google had to email that person. And then I had to wait like 2 weeks where if that person didn't write back, Google would finally give me that address as officially mine. So somebody who was in my suite before, that business had died. Clearly they didn't respond. I became the host or owner of that address according to Google. So it's actually a very serious kind of thing. So you can create your Google My Business and in there you can put up photos. So you could put up some professional photos of the actual location, the outside of the building. You can put up some pictures from the inside of the building. Maybe if you got a couple of RVPs in a co-op, you take a professional photo of all the RVPs together. You want to have 6+ photos in your Google business listing, and that's going to help drive the Google algorithm to show that you're a legit company. So you want to have, you know, your website on there, your primerica.com/, you know, your name. You want to have that in there, your office phone, your fax number, the address, the everything. And then that's the play in the photos. that's the place then that people can leave reviews. So, and you want to make sure that for your phone numbers, you use your local phone number with the local area code, because that also is going to help in the algorithm. So like my office, if you put Primerica near me, it doesn't matter. There's other offices in the areas, because I've utilized this, people call me. So I get calls from other offices, clients, we get calls from people that just heard about the company. Somebody said, yeah, I heard about this lady called me and just said, yeah, my sister said she owns you guys' life insurance. And she said she didn't know her rep anymore and didn't know if they were doing it or whatever. So I just put in Primerica near me. You popped up. I did a life app right over the, hopped on Zoom right then. We hopped on Zoom. We did a life app done. And it was just somebody that called in. It was basically zero work because I had social proof through my Google business listing. Okay. So number six is a huge thing. If you're an RVP, you got to get that together, because that's going to help your base shop as well as yourself. Okay. And number seven is prioritize two social media platforms and post at least 5 times a week. We talked about this a lot with Christina before, and we've had a lot of conversations on this, but I've realized, narrow it down to two. I'm focusing on Instagram and LinkedIn. Instagram and LinkedIn, those are the two most like profitable. Instagram posts to Facebook for me through stories and posts. So I'm doing Facebook without putting any work into Facebook. So, but I know that my young crowd is in Instagram. The young, even in middle age and stuff, is all on Instagram now. And then the specific, that my niche, my engineers, are on LinkedIn, and I can find them. And I'm connecting with people that work at the companies that I want, that I know have big 401ks, the companies that I know allow in-service distributions below 59.5. I'm purposely connecting with people in my niche on LinkedIn using that side of that tool. Okay. So, you know, don't spread yourself too thin. Find two social media platforms that you think work well for you, and then just go hard on those two. Okay. So, what I want to do now that that's kind of my, all the seven points, is now open it up to the panelist. And if you're followed by speakers, I see a couple people down there, Todd, Mark, if you want to come up, or George, if you guys want to come up, just raise your hand and let me know. Cause I pinged you once, I think. So just let me know if you do want to come up. And there we go, Mark. Thank you. So yeah, Mike, Dano, Joseph, anybody got something to say about any of the 7 points? We can kind of hop into those today, or maybe just start at the top, but whatever you're feeling. Go ahead.
So just have a quick question on the Google optimization stuff. Is that something that you actually have to create a dashboard for? Because I'm Googling it as you're talking about it here. Do you set up an actual account with that? Because I've never heard of that.
Yeah. Jeez, I did mine so long ago. What you do is go to Google My Business. It's like a, there's a page called google.com, I think, /mybiz, my business. Yeah, Google My Business. If you just put in google.com/mybusiness, it'll pull you to there, and you sign into your Google account. Okay. And then you build this thing out, and that's how you get on like Maps. So if somebody types in Primerica anywhere around me, I'm number one on Maps. So it's like so if they put in my name, if they didn't have the right address to the office, somebody gave, forgot to give it to them, anything like that, they just punch it into Maps on Google or Apple, and my location's going to be the number one and easy to find. So, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. And just to touch on real quick, defining your niche like that, that's something, I talk with all of our team about is, I think it helps when you have a clear vision of what you want your business to be like. Once that is defined, you know exactly who you're looking for, what you're looking for. And this business becomes a lot funner when you've defined that and you're enjoying who you're talking to, who you're doing business with. And, you'll deal with the other stuff as it comes. But when you actually enjoy, like Josh talking, you love talking with engineers. That is like the I don't like talking with engineers, so I would not target them like Josh does. But, you know, Josh defining his niche there and enjoying what he does, I think that's important whenever you're looking at your long-term vision for your business as well.
Go ahead, Rockford.
Yeah. Hey, so I want to comment on point two, having like a powerful one-line mission statement. There are some great resources I've been able to sit in on some webinars from, I think it's Franklin Templeton Academy, and then Invesco had another webinar. And part of that was going through what are some key words or phrases that really resonate with consumers and what doesn't, right? And so I kind of put together a couple of things that people say, well, you know, how are you different as a financial advisor? And I say, well, look, I aim to provide high value, be cost efficient when it comes to the fees and services, and just be smart with people's money. And I did that because those three things rate are like the highest three phrases or words with consumers based on a number of different studies. And so doesn't really give people a ton of detail, but it makes them feel better about it, right? And it triggers positive emotions and feelings with it. So that's just something that I use.
That's really powerful. Like looking up keywords. I'm sorry, you cut out. I thought you were done. Sorry, Rockford. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. No, you're good, man. But yeah, especially if you have a 65, if you do managed accounts, you can reach out to your, and you might even be able to do it with a six. Reach out to your wholesaler for Franklin Templeton and Invesco and ask for those resources on their referral generating and marketing. I forget the ladies who did that or who hosted it, but those are the companies they're from. So reach out to your wholesaler for that information.
Yeah, that's really powerful, man. The idea of keywords, like words that have been ran through studies that trigger emotional responses, are really important words to use when you're creating something like that, because then you can actually hit them in that part of the brain that's subconscious, right? And they just make them feel, certain words make them feel good, things like that.
Absolutely. And just one last comment on that. One of the things that surprised me was consumers do not like the word solutions, right? So if you try to use solutions in your marketing, what it comes across as is that you have a problem, right? Or that maybe the investment strategy that you come up with could actually have problems in it, and they need a solution for your solution, right? So a better word to go with is strategies. That resonates better with people than solutions. That was something that really surprised a lot of the people in the financial industry who were doing this kind of study, because we use the word solutions a ton. Every company does. And so they were really caught off guard that didn't resonate with people at all. So little nugget there.
Man, great points, Rockford. Dano, go ahead.
Yeah, great nugget, Rockford. That's one thing. Actually, one of the life coaches that I do a little bit of work with, helping them, and that solutions and strategies was a big thing, because people have issues, but they want strategies to improve their life. They don't want a solution for their life, because solutions are specific, you know, and so it ends up, you know, you got a problem, we can solve the problem, but then you're back stuck again because you're not moving forward, you're not progressing. So good point. Back when Dean first kind of starting work around Dean Francis, and he was talking about story brand and so forth, Josh, you hit right on it. Is, you know, find out who your ideal client is. You'll get a lot of peripheral clients because as you focus on that, because, you know, not every engineer has an engineer as a brother. Not every teacher has a sister that's a teacher. But what you'll find out is, you know, if you try to cast too wide of a net, it's kind of like when you walk, you know, when you're at a networking meeting, you say, you know, I'm looking for anyone. Anyone means no one. So, you know, hey, I'm looking for engineers in whatever field, or I'm looking for, you know, educators in the, you know, secondary educational arena, you know, that kind of. And then when you get with those teachers or engineers and you're kind of building those relationships, especially once they become clients, is, you know, not, again, not who do you know, but, you know, hey, they're at your school because you've gotten to know them, what they like best and what they don't like and things like that about that school, you know. So when you guys are sitting around work and trying to solve some of the problems there in the school. Well, who's those core group of teachers that you collaborate with, to fix things or to improve things, and then get those names? Those will be people that when you then mention, hey, I was speaking with, Josh, he's, your coworker there at the school, and he mentioned I should talk to you about what I've been helping him with. Then Josh's credibility comes across because they're used to working with Josh to make things better. So it's just being, very specific in your ask, knowing your value proposition and how to convey that to individuals as you're trying to go out there and prospect.
Yeah, huge, huge point, Dano. Wow. Yeah, so John, JC, Mark, anybody got something else to point out to any of that? Or we'll start to kind of recap those.
Hey, Josh, good morning. I think you hit on something, really, really exciting for the future. This is one of the areas that I struggle with, is the social media presence thing. So I'm gonna take your advice and get moving on this. I have some interesting things, though. About 4 years ago, that Google thing happened accidentally, where they called my office and, out of the blue. And so that's kind of how I learned about that. And you're right, having that presence, I've probably over that time period, done about 15 or 20 life apps because of that reach, because of that exposure. So, the world has changed for us slightly. And I think just having those outlets, having that message and, target branding is so important, whether you're targeting engineers. I just left a meeting with a group of women called WOW, Women of Wealth. And let me tell you something, these ladies, they are sharp. And so just to have the opportunity, to be in front of them was somewhat of a blessing. We'll see what comes out of it, but they know their stuff. They're educated. And, I was referred to them by one of the members, and, they had already checked me out through different avenues of social media. So, it's just a way that we have to become very good at our messaging, what we say, how we say things. Strategies are really important for people today because life is so dynamic and things are always changing in people's lives. So totally agreement with what, Dana was talking about. And we just have to grow and get better in these areas to maintain the success levels that we all want, that fold into our goals. So great being a part of this today. Love it.
Good.
Hey, Josh.
Thank you, Mark. Hold on. Joe, we'll hit John because he was on it with Mark, and then I'll come back to you, Joe. Sorry about that.
Yeah, but yeah, I first off, your seven points, your seven ways were phenomenal, and just appreciate you taking the time to write them down and share them with everyone. There's so many things in there that I think we all could look at and go, "Wow, I really got to get better at that." I think just a couple of things that we've added into our system that has really changed the game from us and. I think Mark had said, it is a brand new world and it's a different way of doing business and thinking about business and the difference between strategies and solutions. It always comes back to how you feel about what you do has a lot to do with what you project out there, which is something that we talk about all the time. So, the book Building Your Story Brand. It impacted us so much that we literally built it into our messaging in our industry. So many people are like trying to be the hero. Like, so when you have a solution for someone, you're basically saying you're not the hero, I'm the hero. And like was already said, you have a problem, I'm here to fix it, instead of realizing that they're the hero living in their story and they need a guide and they need a plan. And when we shifted to being plan focused. You're the, like, our messaging is you're the hero, live your adventure. You know, there's, you just need a guide. But it's all, you know, solutions or, you know, strategies to help you get where you need to be. That entire mindset changes how they view everything, one, that you do, but it also changes how we put ourselves out there. Like, when you get it internal, you automatically change your marketing, you change your conversations, because you're no longer trying to be the hero. You're just there to support them in everything that it is that they do. That was, I mean, we implemented that last year, but it really manifested this year and has changed the game for our business. Number two, just on, you know, referrals and how important they are to our business. I forget where I picked this up over the last couple of weeks, and it's so stupidly simple that I never even thought about it because people do it all the time. I was meeting with a young couple, and you know, referrals were at the top of my mind, and I said, "Hey, listen, you know, here's who we're looking for, et cetera." But, you know, normally, and I love whoever said it, you know, when you say anybody, you're saying nobody. But the thing that we did was say, hey, you know what, why don't you just start a three-way text and you can pass the introduction that way. And that worked like wonders, like, because the client feels like they're in control, right? You're not going to say anything stupid because they're watching, and creating that three-way text made them more comfortable. And we booked an appointment from that. Literally just happened yesterday.
That's awesome, John. And that's something that I know we've talked about on here before, right? About the three-way text and why it's such a beautiful thing. Because, like I said, you're not asking for a name and number. When you ask for a name and number and write it down and leave with it, they feel like you took something. But when they, like, you took something from them. But when they're just putting you in a text, it's like you're not receiving something from them. You know, we would always say, you know, like, if you'd prospect somebody, you say, give me your number. You say, hey, let's exchange numbers, because it doesn't, it helps with that feeling of taking or giving away something. And if you're just telling them to put in a three-way text, right, they feel like they're still in control and they love it. Joe Casella, good morning, man. Look forward to hearing from you.
Yeah, of course, Josh. And hey, listen, thank you so much for putting this together over the last couple of weeks. You know, this panelist of people and the advice and tips, tricks, whatever you want to call them, have just been absolutely fantastic. I love the finding your niche. I think one side of that for me was, we have to get comfortable with not taking everyone. And I think once you get in your brain, it's like, you know, I'm okay with not taking you on as a client. In fact, yesterday I had a conversation with one of my neighbors who, they're moving to the West Coast. They've only lived in this neighborhood a year, and I was actually introducing them to a realtor that I work with, and we kind of prospect for each other around this area. And she said, oh, you know, we've been interviewing realtors. I said, well, listen, you got to talk to my friend Matt. They're great. Did the introduction with the three-way text, right, John? I mean, that's been such a game changer, switching to that way, to doing referrals. Introduced them. He got in touch with her right away. But I said to her, I said, oh, well, you're moving for jobs. I said, did you have a 401k at your old job? She said, yeah. I said, well, are you working with a financial advisor? She said, no, we're not. I said, well, would you be interested in interviewing each other to see if we'd be a good fit to work together? And just having that conversation of, like, I'm not begging you to do business with me. I don't even know if we're a good fit. So that language, and I just think that goes back to the niche. We're going to see if we're going to be a good fit to work together. And I'm not asking you to do business with me, and I'm not saying I'm going to do business with you. So that's a big deal. Definitely certain things to think about. Now I'm thinking, okay, I used to be a professional musician. So maybe some of my one-liners need to be geared towards working with artists. I mean, they don't have to be musicians, but, you know, artists think a different way. Engineers think a different way. And if I'm able to communicate with them on that level, well, I damn sure better have a one-liner that I can use when I talk to artists, musicians, people in that area. Because you work better with engineers, Josh. I might work better with these artistic type people. And the other thing too is, like, I'm a single dad. So that's a niche market that I should be working with as well. You know, my good friend Sean Kingsley and I, we started doing a podcast about being single dads and building businesses and we're just getting that rolling. But we've already had a lot of people get attracted to that. And that's just that's a way cool. to add value, to have those conversations. And that'll lead down the road to more stuff as we go through that. But a question I have for you, Josh, and maybe we can do a little bit interview style here if you're down for it, but all this new social media, online marketing, you know, it's different when we walk down the street, we can go get 10 names and numbers a day. That kind of has more of an immediate impact as we're calling those people, setting up interviews, appointments, whatever. But when you started on this social media Google path, as we're all getting used to, what should we expect in a time-wise, in a turnaround as far as return on investment or return on our time? Like, I think for me, it's like, oh, well, I set up my Instagram page, you know, how come I'm not getting DMs yet about people wanting to meet with me? So what is a realistic expectation, or how long did it take for you once you got all this stuff rocking and rolling to start to show up in a return sense?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So last year, I was doing this thing with this lady that I paid for a little course, you know, and she was teaching. Dean had actually, her name was Jamie Kite, and he was like all pumped up about this lady. And so I paid for some little thing to be a part of it. And she said 90 days, she didn't say for the like an ROI, but what she said was, there's a 90-day period where the point where somebody feels like they have this feeling, right, Joe? And they think, I think I need to, like, do something about my finances. That thought implants, you know, into their brain. They're going to watch from the moment they think that they need to do something, okay? Like, they know they need to do something. From that moment, you're looking at 90 days before of them consuming your content, learning more from you, getting educational stuff, you know, all that kind of stuff, 90 days of that before they'll reach out to you and say, and then finally pull the trigger. So, basically it doesn't take long from when you're initially, I would say maybe a month more than that. It's called 120 days, 4 months from where you'll start really writing about things to, you know, and speaking about certain topics to where it'll actually start converting. But the main thing is, you know, social media, remember, it's free. So the only thing is time, of course, which is our most expensive asset actually. But if we sit down and create a calendar and just like decide what we're going to put out, the kind of stuff we're going to put out, the amount of time it actually takes to create it is relatively small, definitely compared to, you know, when we go out prospecting and, you know, and things like that, right? And how slow that could be. You know, the time's relative. And then I don't think that we should think in terms of like the ROI. I always say this in my base shop when somebody would say like, well, what about the, you know, I got to drive here, I got to drive there, the gas, this, and I said, I never started making a lot of money in this business until I stopped looking at things like that. You know, like until I just started saying, you know, I'm going to drive to every kitchen table, no matter where it is. I'm going to go. I'm going to, you know, until I started doing that, then I'm still trying to get there, Joe, myself, in social media and feeling like it's not a waste. So everybody might be like, well, Josh is teaching this. Well, I'll tell you, like every day I look at Instagram and I want to punch myself in the face because I don't enjoy it. I don't like posting. When I post, I feel like it's lame. I'm like, this doesn't even look cool. Like people got like, oh, it looks fancy and all this. I'm like, oh, it's not enjoyable. But 2 days ago, a guy just called me and I walked over to his house. I was able to walk to this guy's house and we did a $78,000 rollover. He never met me in my life. And he was like, hey, I got these three old 401ks. I've been watching your stuff. Let's go. And it was like, well, that was a good ROI. You know what I mean? Like that was instant. So I just say all that because it's like this part of me, I'm in this constant tug of war, Joe, with my own spirit on this. I'm like, I feel like it's a waste of time, but I know it's not, you know, and I've actually had returns come from it, but I'm still fighting the idea of doing it because I'm not really contrary to sometimes people think, I'm not a big social media guy. I don't really enjoy pretty much any of it. But I do know just like prospecting, that it's not about enjoyment. It's about like necessity. You know, I have to do it. Can't get around it.
Well, Josh, hang on a second, because I just want to thank you for being honest, because I know probably everybody on this call feels the exact same way. I hate when one of my Instagram posts go up. I hate the way it looks. It drives me nuts. I want to throw up every day because of all this crap. And, you know, you look so good at it. You look like it's awesome. And I know there's stage talk and there's real talk. So I just want to say thank you and appreciate you being honest with how you really feel about all this, because I know that makes me feel better. I don't feel like the crazy guy. Well, I am crazy, but I don't feel like the crazy guy anymore about it. It's like, okay, good. Josh feels this way. All right, I feel better. So thank you so much for just being honest about that and how that makes you feel, man.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, it's not a lot of fun. So go, Dano, go ahead.
Yeah, just to kind of piggyback on what you were saying again. Thanks. I'm over podium talking, Primerica, you might say. So because I'm kind of the same way. I mean, I've been in social media, Joe. To kind of go with your question to Josh. I think a lot of times, especially when we're new or we start something new, we forget that there's a farming season before we get the harvest. Whether you're going face-to-face networking, which can be a faster ROI, as you put it. But with social media, I mean, perfect example. I mean, when you kind of say, where's your niche at? I'm kind of all over the board. I mean, everything from extreme sports to, you know, gearhead, that kind of thing. And so a lot of my stuff reflects around either what I'm doing or where I'm at. And so a lot of times people, you know, when I actually bump into somebody, they're like, hey, looks like you've been doing a lot of traveling, or, hey, man, I enjoyed that pic of your latest project or whatever. And we were actually at a motorcycle event a week ago, and the owner of this shop, which I've met him numerous times, we've just kind of small talked, and he literally made it a point to come across the parking lot, and he's like, Dano, so glad you stopped by the event, man. It's been forever since I've seen you. But he said, I've been watching you on social media. He's like, dude, you're speaking to me, you know, almost daily. I don't know everything you do, but I need to like buy you coffee. I need to get with you. You know, and literally then he's, you know, somebody'd walk up to him, because again, he's the owner of the shop, and they're like, hey, let me introduce you to my buddy Dano. You need to get, you know, you need to get to know him. Matter of fact, follow him on Instagram, you know. And a lot of my Instagram is just, you know, sometimes in your face kind of facts, but or just a motivational, hey, think outside the box type thing. But again, I mean, those posts have been going up for forever. And, you know, then all of a sudden, you know, you get those trickles, you know, the harvest is, you know, is ready to be reaped. So, again, I don't like doing it probably any more than Josh does. I mean, I'm working with my web developers right now for my homepage, you know, website. And it's like, man, I like Josh's video, but damn, I hate seeing myself on camera. So it's like, you know, that internal struggle, that we all deal with. But I think the big thing is, you know, to go back to Joe's question, is just being able to know it's a farming time, and then the harvest comes in if we're consistent with developing that farming time.
Yeah, that's awesome, Dano. Yeah, and looking at myself on camera is definitely weird. If you guys didn't follow my new podcast, you know, and we're on here on Wednesday morning, like that felt really weird. It just feels weird every time. It's just never, you know, it's like, okay, here we go again, you know, and it gets like, I'm comfortable talking like this. And that's why I think I love the age of podcast and Clubhouse, and what they're now coining the audiopreneur, is I love to speak. I don't enjoy being in front of the camera as much as I love just the audio version of things. So George Verdugo, good to see you, man. Glad you popped up. Wanted to hear your words this morning.
Good morning, you guys. This has been very insightful. I'm going to be Captain Obvious for you right now, as I'm listening to a lot of you guys talk. You know, I've heard the word uncomfortable come up multiple times in reference to social media. It's just a new avenue for us. I think what we need to do is realize if you go back to when you first got started, we were all terrible. If I told you my first one or two or three presentations, you guys would be laughing your tail off at how I had the audacity to even continue forward. And yet here I am running a business that's, you know, incredibly profitable, and, you know, we've created a great life. So I think what we need to do is we just need to embrace it. So when it comes to social media, what I've determined, there's things that I'm good at and there's things that I'm not all that good at. So I try to play to my strengths. I'm great at developing relationships, especially face to face. I've yet to kind of get that, you know, connection with people on Zoom right away. But if you get in front of me, it is a piece of cake. So what I've done is I've kind of reverse engineered it. In other words, you see these guys on social media that are influencers that have maybe deal with the same type of a client base that you do, and you're looking to develop that for yourself. So what I've done is, instead of waiting till I'm good enough to develop all that for myself, I'm making my attempts. I'm, you know, doing all the uncomfortable things that we're all doing. What I decided is to kind of backdoor it. I asked myself, who are people that have like-minded clients? So I went on my social media just recently, and I was going through and kind of looking at people's profiles, and I stumbled into a guy that I befriended online that sells solar systems. So I called him. I said, hey, Desi, I see you got into the solar business. How's it going? You know, I chatted him up. And lo and behold, he deals with the perfect client. He deals with the homeowner. He deals with the person that's in the sweet spot for us. And he says, you know, it's funny that you called. I've been thinking about adding additional services to what I do to differentiate me in my space. He says, I've been wanting to talk to somebody that does loans, insurance, and investments. I don't believe that that's an accident. I just believe that, you know, when you put your energy out into the world in reference to what you want, it starts coming your way. So you can look at it from a backdoor space as well. The second thing is, there's people that we're all friends with on social media that are great influencers. The ones that make us feel bad about our inadequacies, the ones that post those great pics, the great videos, you're thinking, man, I can't believe that guy did that or said that. I decided to reach out to those guys. Hey, listen, I've been following you for quite some time. You know, you post some great stuff. You know, what area are you in? What do you do for a living? I'd love to take you out for a cup of coffee to see if we might be able to, you know, help each other out in business. I'm always looking at growing my business. Hopefully you're still in the growth mode as well. And I've had lunches with people that the scenarios are awesome because I reached out to help them. They in turn asked me what I do. I got a guy that turns out to be a very successful realtor in our area. And he doesn't have a financial plan. So long story short, he says, I've got, you know, 10, 15, 20 grand a month. I want to start investing. And I was like, well, let's start you a little slower where you're a little bit more comfortable. He says, no, you didn't hear me. I got an extra $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 that I want to start putting away automatically. This all comes from social media, but it wasn't because I went out and posted all this stuff and I got them attracted to me. It's because I was attracted to them. And now I'm trying to figure out how they're doing it. I did the same thing with another young lady. She coins herself as the marketer for the millennials. So I reached out to her. What does she do? She helps people with upstarts and that kind of stuff. So what I'm saying is that as we're trying to grow our operations, as we're trying to get change the complexion of how we're doing things, we can also benefit from people that have already become very, very successful at it. So like I said, if I was to put myself on a scale of 1 to 10 at how effective I am at social media, it'd probably be a 1 or a 0 right now. But it's not going to be that way forever. But when you can find people that are already at a 10, number one, you can benefit from what they've done, because like this realtor I told you about, he's pretty pleased with what I've shown him so far. He's already posted me on his social media. I just met a financial guy. I think you guys need to get to know him, post my name, you know, get in contact with me if you want to reach out to him. And this has all just happened in the last couple of weeks because I, like a lot of you guys, was frustrated how I'm not using this. And, you know, it goes back to like those of you that are old enough to remember answering machines. When you'd get home, you'd press the button and you'd hear your voice and you think, I don't sound like that. That's exactly how you sound. And that's exactly how you look on social media. But as you start moving forward, you'll develop a different preference. So like I said, I've just looked at backdooring it. It's been very successful. I got a meeting with this guy that sells solar panels next week, and he's very open. He's in San Diego, which is about 100 miles away. He says, I'll meet you halfway for lunch. And again, so there is a way to capitalize on it as we're working on getting good at it. So it's just one of those things that I thought I could put out there that might help some of you guys. So that's all I got, Josh.
George, that is a huge point. And anybody who hops on here right now, everybody, you can flash your mute mics if you think so. Anybody hops on like George just did, says they're a one or two on social media, but has learned that they can reverse engineer the prospecting system, is clearly not a one or a two on social media. He's a stud. He actually knows how to use it rather than, you know, being a consumer of social media, but actually using social media. So man, the great point, George. I was sitting there listening to that and I thought, oh my gosh, like I've done that, but not at the level I should be by any means. So yeah, I've got the top realtor in my area coming on a podcast with me here next week. So that is a great
idea. Hey Josh, can I make one more comment?
Absolutely.
You know, the other thing too is last year, you know, with the trying time that we went through in our country, all of us have our own, you know, political views and views on issues. I stopped posting my views on anything because I found out that it's divisive because you have people that are on the opposite end. You're not going to convince anybody. So what I decided to do with my social media is post my lifestyle. And you guys might want to try this, where whatever you do, you know, whether it is taking your spouse out to dinner, your weekend getaways, you know, I have a motorcycle, I have an RV, I do trips, I travel a lot. And by posting my lifestyle, people have hit me up. Hey, what do you do for a living? You know, how do you do so much traveling? I mean, how do you make any money? And they have reached out to me to find out how I have that quality of lifestyle. A lot of times we feel like we're bragging or boasting, but listen, it really isn't. All you're basically doing is, you know, saying I work hard, but I play hard. You're just not showing the work hard part. You're just showing the play hard. And that's the, I think, a big key to social media is attracting people. And I didn't realize that I was doing it. So when you post your opinion on something, you're going to get a certain number of people that agree, but you're also going to get a certain number of people that disagree. When you post your lifestyle, you're going to attract people that want your lifestyle. They want the freedom. They want the flexibility. They want the extra time. And that's kind of a door opener for you because it's easy for you to help them identify how you've done it and how you could do it for them. So that's just another little tidbit that I stumbled upon this year.
Man, some really that's powerful huge, stuff. Go ahead, Dano.
Yeah, that's huge. Cause like my youngest child's 20, my oldest is 26. My oldest is like online constantly. But the thing is like the people that age bracket follow, the content they put up, George, you're spot on. It's their lifestyle. It's them hanging out with their friends. It's them, you know, the trip that they're on or where they're at. And again, that's one thing, you know, we're cautious with compliance is lifestyle is compliant. It's just, you know, you can't brag that you can teach everybody how to have your lifestyle, but people are envious of your lifestyle. They'll chase you. They'll pursue you just to figure out how are you doing it.
Well, we'll finish on that point. I'll kind of wrap us up here, but wow, what a powerful bunch. I mean, from all of the speakers today, some really powerful stuff kind of tying back into those seven ways to generate more leads for yourself and your business. So, you know, out of all those points, you know, the big thing that I recommend, highly recommend that all the RVPs go do is get your Google My Business dialed in, get that thing set up because it's going to make a difference for you. I promise. Make sure to put up 6+ photos, do the things I said. That's going to get your office on the map and make it easier for people to find you. Everything else, when they're in the area and you're in proximity, Google's going to use you as the person that they find. I mean, Mark said that he's had like tons of life sales come from that over the years, which is unbelievable. The other thing is don't forget that people can now get onto the training center. Anybody else in the company that you want to help them get there, they just go to salesteampro.net/training and they'll be able to get into there. If they need the password, it's the word recruit and they'll be able to get onto there and start to access all of the amazing archives of training. So next week, I actually already know next week's topic, something that has been changing my business since I really got actually back to work about 90 days ago. My income is skyrocketing. And, you know, before that, I was really digging into Sales Team Pro. I was cleaning up my database. I was working on all that. It was just a disaster and really getting those things straightened out. But since then, my business has taken off in a big, big way. Went from averaging just at, we were down to 160 in income. Today popped over 203, 2 months in a row of over 30 grand in income. I've already got 30 grand in income for July. Could be a $50,000 month. So blowing up, growing, using these techniques, the things we're talking about, seeing massive change in my business. I'm hearing the exact same thing from so many of the other leaders that I talked to throughout the week. So next week, we're going to be talking about the thing that has been huge for me is how to hire your world-class assistant. So how do you hire a world-class assistant? How do you create systems and tricks with them? And that system might be you. So how do you become your own assistant properly? Time blocking, getting certain things done when they need done, while they're important and before they're urgent, so that you can stay ahead of the game. Or if you're in a position to hire somebody, how to hire somebody that can become a world-class assistant that can absolutely help you explode and grow your business. So if you haven't followed the speakers, make sure to follow all the speakers at the top. We thank you guys for all being on today. What a fantastic meeting. I hope that everybody has a wonderful Independence Day this weekend with your families. Everybody stay safe, but most importantly, remember the price that was paid, but the freedom that we have. Remember this great country. Remember our Constitution. All the things that have made this such an amazing place and a beacon of light to the rest of the world. Everybody have a great weekend and great holiday. God bless.
God bless. Have a good one.